Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today is Confirmation Sunday. Today, seven of our youth will give witness to the salvation and faith God gave them when they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, please note, I said today is Confirmation Sunday, not Conformation Sunday. So what's the difference? Well, confirmation means that one gives witness to the salvation they were given when they were baptized. Confirmation means one gives witness to the fact that they have been taught God's word according to Christ's institution. Teach them everything I've taught you, he said. Confirmation is also a time to publicly give witness to the fact that one desires to live a life of worship. That means to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's confirmation. In fact, as most of you know, I stress to parents and their children that confirmation is not graduation, but instead confirmation continues after the program is finished, because we Christians should always strive to grow more and more in our knowledge of God's word as we follow Jesus. So being a Christian means confirmation, not conformation. So then, what is conformation? Well, conformation is when we conform to the evil ways of this world and then pattern our lives after the desires of our sinful nature. Conformation will lead us to avoid God and His Word after we've been confirmed. Let me give you an example. St. John's Lutheran Church in Thief River Falls, Minnesota is where I was confirmed back in 1977. There's a picture of all the various confirmation classes hanging up on a wall at our church, including my class of 1977. That picture shows 10 of us who were confirmed back in 1977. But do you know what's really sad? Out of the 10 youth in my confirmation class, I'm the only one who still attends church. Now, does that mean I'm better than them? Absolutely not. I'm a sinner just like they are. In fact, as you've heard me say many times, being a Christian means admitting that you're a sinner who deserves nothing but eternal hell, and therefore you trust in Jesus, who loved you enough to suffer hell for you and also conquer death for you by his resurrection. So being a Christian means daily confessing your sins and daily relying on Jesus for mercy and the strength to live as God's dearly loved child. However, as you know, the devil constantly tempts us to think that we're not all that bad, and therefore we don't really need Jesus all that much. When people stop attending services, what they're actually arrogantly saying is that they really don't need Jesus as much as the people who do attend church services. What a sad reality that so many who were once confirmed in Christ are now conformed to the world and see no need for Jesus and his word in their lives. For example, as of this June, I will have been here at Concordia for 6 years. During these 6 years, I've confirmed many youth, but sadly, I haven't seen some of them in church since their confirmation. I pray for them, I try to witness to them, and I hope they do come back to Christ Church. So, why do confirmed Christians end up being conformed to this evil world? It happens because slowly but surely, we believe the devil's lie when he tempts us to think that we can be strong Christians without being nurtured by God's word. You see, if we're not being constantly nurtured by God's word, the only option is that our faith will grow weaker and weaker. God gives us salvation and faith in baptism, but that baptism faith needs to be nurtured, or else it will grow weak and, God forbid, might one day eventually die. If our faith is not being strengthened by God's word on a regular basis, the only option is that our faith in Christ will grow weaker and weaker. And when we're weak in our faith, it is so much more easy to be conformed to the wicked ways of this world. And when we allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, the result is that we no longer have a desire for the things of God. But my friends, that's not how God wants it. God loves us. Therefore, he wants what's best for us. He wants confirmation, not conformation. In fact, the Apostle Paul makes the same point in today's second reading from Romans. Listen again to Romans 12, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Now, what is Paul trying to teach us here? Well, first, Paul says, in view of God's mercy. You know what that means? It means that God wants you to live a certain way, not because you should be scared of his wrath if you don't, and not because you're trying to impress him or earn his love. No, my friends. God wants you to live a certain way because of his mercy. God loves you. His plan for your life is what's best for you. That's why he wants you to live a certain way. My friends, God sent his one and only Son to the cross to die for your sins, so that you could be forgiven and free to live as God's child for all eternity. Paul spends the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans pointing us to Jesus and all that he's done to serve us. He did all that even though we don't deserve it. So, in view of God's mercy means that God's love is the motivation for all that we do. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love and mercy. In fact, you can't earn it. Salvation is a free gift. You have this free gift of God's mercy and love through the costly sacrifice of Jesus for you. Because of Christ, you are God's forgiven and dearly loved child. And that means you get to live as his child. In fact, God's mercy makes you want to live for him because his mercy transforms your heart and your mind so that you want to know what God's will is for you because you trust that God's will for you is what is best. Now that leads to a question. What is God's will? Well, Paul says that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. But how can we be a living sacrifice? Have you ever noticed that all the animal sacrifices mentioned in the Old Testament were dead sacrifices? But Paul says you get to be a living sacrifice. The reason is that Jesus took the death that you deserve upon himself, and because of that, you now get to live for God and please him with your life. But how do you please God with your life? I can answer that with one word. Worship. But isn't that what we're doing right now? Not exactly. Oh, sure, we're worshiping God here with our words and our hymns and our prayers and our offerings. But you know, that's not the main thing that goes on here. You see, this thing that goes on here Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, this is properly called a service. Why? Because here is where God serves us with his gifts. We come here not to give something to God. We come here so that God can give something to us. We come here to be reminded of our baptism, to be fed by God's word, to be given Christ's own body and blood and Holy Communion. Here is where God serves us. But if this is a service, then what is worship? Worship, my friends, is what happens when you leave the sanctuary after the final hymn. Worship is how you relate to your family in the car on the way home. Worship is how you treat your wife or your husband during the week. Worship is how you parents treat your children and how you children treat your parents. Worship is saying no to the sinful temptations that bombard you each day. Worship is saying yes to the forgiveness and love that God would have you offer to others. Worship is employees doing the best they can for their employers and employers doing the best that they can for their employees. Worship is telling others about Jesus when God gives you the opportunity. Worship is giving food to a poor, needy family. Worship is living your life according to God's will. Worship is a life lived in response to God's mercy to us in Christ. And now we're ready to hear Romans 12, verse 2. Listen again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Simply put, now that you are God's forgiven child, he wants you to stop being conformed to the ways of the world. Paul writes about this also in Titus chapter 2. Listen carefully to these words. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Did you hear that? We are saved by grace. When you are baptized and brought to faith in Christ, everything that needed to be done has been done for your salvation. But as a result of being saved, you now are free to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for your life. God's grace in Christ will transform you so that you live in a way that honors God. But unfortunately, if you're like me, it's still very, very easy to be conformed to the ways of this evil world. You see, even though we're all baptized Christians who are moved to live to the glory of God, that doesn't mean we no longer struggle with our sinful nature. We certainly do. In fact, when you are a Christian, the devil turns up the heat. Think about it. The devil doesn't have to work very hard on people who don't trust in Jesus. He's already got them. Who are the people the devil needs to work on? Big time. It's us. Those who have been saved and who trust in Jesus. We're the ones the devil has to attack. So all the more reason we need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. And yet, how hard that is. Because we still struggle with our sinful nature. In fact, in our reading from Romans, Paul suggests that we're all like spiritual Play-Doh. We're supposed to be shaped into Christ's image, but so often we allow ourselves to be conformed to the pattern of this world. For example, we sometimes allow evil thoughts to lurk in our minds. We allow anger to shape us, and as a result, we utter painful words that hurt others, even the ones we love. We let TV programs and the internet influence our desires and the way we want to live. We let sinful temptations of this world seduce us because we end up believing the lie that we will simply be happy if we do as we please, not realizing that this is how the devil gives us spiritual poison. We all struggle with sin, but my friends, that's exactly why we need Jesus. That's why we're here today. We're not a bunch of super Christians coming to church to tell everybody how great we are. No, we're a bunch of broken, wounded sinners who have come to God's hospital where He serves us with His gifts so that we can be comforted by His forgiveness and given the strength to go out and try again to live to the glory of God, knowing that through Jesus, in spite of all our failings, we are God's forgiven and dearly loved children. My friends, we are Plato people who are often conformed to the ways of the world. But Jesus is here today to reshape us. Jesus is here today to transform you and to confirm you in His image. Jesus wants to shape you into something new. My friends, God's mercy will transform you, and God's mercy will confirm you as a new creation in Christ. And so when you leave this place today, Jesus, first of all, wants to assure you that you are His forgiven child, and He also wants you to know that He will help you to live according to God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. But the question is, how does Jesus do that? How does Jesus comfort you? How does Jesus teach you God's will so that your mind can be renewed and your life can follow your mind accordingly? How does Jesus do that? Well, He does that through the gift of His Word. You see, you are confirmed by God's Word every time you attend services like this where God gives you His gifts through preaching. You are confirmed by His Word when you attend Bible classes and study the Scriptures with fellow Christians. The very Scriptures that point you to Jesus and the mercy and life you have in Him. The very Scriptures that teach you God's loving plan for your life. God also confirms you with His Word when you make it part of your life every day. You can do that by having family devotions, by taking personal time to meditate upon the Scriptures on your own. My friends, Jesus uses His Word to confirm you and to assure you that you are forgiven and that God loves you. Jesus uses His Word to teach you how God wants you to live so that you can discern good from evil and live accordingly. In fact, God's Word teaches us the kind of thoughts that He wants to have in our minds. His Word teaches us the kind of words that should flow from our mouths. God's Word teaches us how to live. It shows us the evil we should avoid and the good that we should do for others. His Word also teaches us to avoid situations and circumstances where we will be tempted. His Word also teaches us to surround ourselves with the things of God so that we can be transformed and confirmed in His love on a daily basis. In fact, that's exactly why I pray every day that I will see more and more adults attending Bible classes at Concordia. Especially on Sundays, since you're already here. You see, going to Bible class, reading your Bible, having family devotions, these are not things you've got to do as though they're a burden. Instead, they're things you get to do because they're gifts that God wants to give you. You see, what's amazing is that the devil wants us to think of God's gifts as a burden we've got to receive rather than gifts we get to receive. Let me show you how the devil twists our minds. Imagine yourself as a child. You get up on Christmas Day, and there's a bunch of presents under the tree, and all of them have your name on them. And your parents say, "Go ahead, open the gifts." And you know what you say, don't you? You say, "Oh, Mom, Dad, do I gotta open those presents, really?" Now, we laugh at that. But look at how the devil twists our minds when it comes to the gifts of God. God says, "You get to go to Bible class." And we say, "Oh, do I got to?" "You get to have family devotions." "Oh, do I got to?" "You get to read the Bible and pray." "Oh, do I got to?" Do you see how the devil just totally distorts and twists the way we think? So think of it in a new way. When God says, "Come to church where I can serve you," go, "Yeah, I want to open that gift." When God says, "Attend Bible class," "Yeah, I want to open that gift." When God says, "Have a family devotion after your meal," "Yeah, I want to open that gift." When God says, "Take some time today to read the Bible and pray," "Yes, God, I want to open that gift." Don't let the devil keep you from the gifts that God wants to use to bless you. My friends, today is Confirmation Sunday. Not just for our seven youth who will be in the front pew here at our second service, but today is Confirmation Sunday for every single one of us. In fact, you can say that every Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. Even more, I dare say every day, every moment of every day is confirmation. Because there isn't a moment of our lives where God is not reaching out to us and saying, "My dearly loved child, when I baptized you, I adopted you as my own. And I've been feeding and nurturing that faith of yours ever since then. And I don't want to lose you. So please don't believe the devil's lies when he tells you to turn away from me and be conformed to the world. Instead, remember my mercy. Remember what I was willing to do for you. Remember how much I love you. And remember when I want you to live a certain way, it's not because I'm trying to burden you or make you do things to earn my love, because I already love you. I already forgive you. And when I want you to live a certain way, it's only because I know that's what's best for you. That's what will bless you. So my child, every day is a confirmation for you. A time for me to confirm you in the faith and renew your mind so that you will know my loving will for your life. My good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.